What's up? It's the Podfathers, episode 4. This episode is brought to you by DraftKings. You got a couple kids, they're running around, they're in your hair all the time. You need to relax, unwind, and just do what guys do. Go over to DraftKings.com, build yourself a team, enjoy some fantasy sports, and hey, who knows, maybe make some money because kids are expensive. Maybe you could make maybe you hit that $1 million prize and you could possibly send one of them to college, maybe for like a couple years. Because that's how it goes with kids. DraftKings.com is America's favorite one-week fantasy sports site where you can turn just a few dollars into millions. They got 50-50 contests where all you got to do is finish in the top half, top 50%, and you're going to get paid out. They got big prizes, small prizes, and every single week you can pick a new team. Don't have to worry about draft busts. Don't have to worry about injuries. Don't have to worry about your team stinking like the Jets and the Jags. Head over to DraftKings.com now. Use the promo code PODFATHERS to play for free. That's DraftKings.com, PODFATHERS to play for free with your first deposit. Make that money. Enjoy that. It's Sunday. It's Dad's Day. Let's get it. PODFATHERS.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
Dikembe Mutombo, we are better known as the Podfathers, coming to you once again. Episode 4, Home Sweet Home. Today we're going to be talking about what it's like when you first get home. Last week we talked about getting through the birth process and getting out of the hospital. Today we're going to be talking about what it's like when that door closes, there are no longer any doctors, no nurses, nobody to help, and now all of a sudden you're a parent. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the second time, but that moment I feel like when you get back into your apartment and close the door, you kind of have that, what the hell do we do now? First, before we get into that, though, I got a gripe to pick. I got a bone to pick.
That's surprising.
You never heard that, right? That's not my MO. I got a bone to pick with my man, Benjamin Franklin. Daylight savings. I don't know. What was it about the candles or the farmers? We were trying to maximize light.
Yep. Something archaic.
Something stupid that really doesn't matter anymore. Hey, Ben. Did you think about the parents out there? Did you think about the parents who had kids who weren't going to understand, oh, the clocks fall back, so you got to stay in bed an extra hour? Oh, the clocks fall back. No, the kids don't understand that. The kids don't understand the premise of daylight savings. This did not hit me, chaps, until, like, the evening before, where I was like, oh, wait a minute. That means up an hour earlier and a day, an hour longer for the day. When 5 p.m. hit and it wasn't 6 p.m. and it wasn't really time to start the bedtime process, I wanted to jump off a fucking bridge.
I super lucked out this year because I was up here on a trip.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, I came up to do a little trip to the Army Air Force game with Connor, and I slept on his couch.
The blackout boys.
And woke up and I was like, my goodness, I just missed daylight saving time. Because I looked at my clock. I was like, there's no way I'm still up at 5. Like, this is outrageous. So I was still up early. I think because I've been a dad for 11 years now.
Sleeping in is just a thing of the past.
It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now if I'm asleep till 7, I'm like, mother of God, I am rested. Like, I feel like singing Mary Poppins songs.
When I was in Nantucket over the summer with the Peter Pan crew here in Never Neverland, where nobody else had kids, we didn't get the day going until like 10:30, 11. I was sitting around for like 4.5 hours.
Dude,
I was like, what's going on here?
When I was going around in New York this weekend looking for a place to have breakfast, and they're like, breakfast joints don't really open until 10. I was like, on Sunday?
What?
Like, what is this life? Like, what is going on right now?
There's hours before the day gets going, before your place opens. Clem, you had to suffer along with me for daylight savings.
Yeah,
yes.
I tweeted out saying, oh, we get an extra hour of sleep. I was like, the big dope. I forgot about last year already. And everyone's like, yeah, you forgot that babies don't observe daylight savings time. I'm like, oh, yeah, I am an asshole. And she didn't. And it's to the point where, you know, when your baby's wide awake in bed and they're like talking to you or whatever, and you and your wife are both like, I hope he's the one who takes the control of this. And me and my wife are just laying in bed.
That is a great game of chicken.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that in this episode. When you're home for the first time and there's shifts at night, when you're laying there like, well, if 30 more seconds, she's going to get up. She'll do it. She'll do it, right? And she's sitting there like,
motherly
I
instinct.
Ain't moving.
Motherly instinct. Come on, motherly instinct.
You can't listen to this crying. I know you got to get up soon. It was a long one for us. She's like, she's a little sick right now, and it was just like, Oh my God, this is, it was some Jack Bauer shit. I was like, this is worse. This is worse than the last episode you listened to with the 24 sounds. We should do a whole daylight savings episode where I was like, I don't think I'm going to make it through this one.
And I'm not going to lie to you, I am the biggest baby in the house for this. Like, I get so thrown off for daylight savings time. Like, I'm in bed, or I went to bed early, I think 9 o'clock the last two
just
nights.
Just to prepare.
And yeah, just to prepare. And like,
just
seasonal.
To prepare for an extra hour of sleep.
seasonal changes, man. My brain is shot. I have no idea what's going on, and I'm sleeping nonstop. And my wife, God bless her soul, has not divorced me in the 2 years since we had the baby. So it's now,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
she's, now we're staying together for the baby.
Bullet, bro.
Better knock on wood.
We also, Halloween passed. Your boy Chaps put on a Halloween expo.
Unreal.
That was...
Halloween's a big deal in the McNeely household.
I'll be honest, man. That was, like, inspiring what you did on Halloween. You were Willy Wonka. The rest of the family was Charlie.
Yeah, my wife was Charlie. My little daughter was Oompa Loompa, and my older daughter was Violet.
It was, I mean, you, I think you said it, you wanted to crash it as Augustus Gloop, right?
Yeah, I wanted to get in there, eat some chocolate, and be a
chap
for a day.
Augustus Sweetheart! It was, I mean, so do you do Halloween Club?
Yeah, we're pretty big into it. This year, we weren't as much, but last year, it was, my wife always does, like, the homemade costumes. So I was Donkey Kong, she was the princess, and the baby was baby princess with a little, because she couldn't walk, so we had her
awesome.
In a little car.
Yes.
So it was a Mario Kart baby princess.
And let's just throw this out there for the world. If you're a dad and you don't dress up with your kid when they recognize, you have a huge dump in your pants.
Yep.
It's not even that you're an asshole. You're ruining the fun for yourself.
Right. Well, it's them. It's
like, dressing up is awesome. Like, it really is fun.
Well,
man.
That's why,
like, I love Halloween. My kids.
That's why I was saying it's inspiring, because I'm still at the point where she doesn't know what's going on. So people are like, did you go trick or treating? I was like, we dressed her up. We went to like a parade that was in Hoboken. She was a little elephant. It was cute. We took our pictures, but at some point, I mean, she went to sleep.
My little daughter's like, especially at her age, 4 years old, like, she was loving that I was
right.
Willy Wonka. She's like, Willy, let's do it. She'd be like, oompa, loompa,
right.
Doompa dee doo.
I actually
like coming up to me to sing the songs. I'm like, you better go away or I'll get the vermicious canids.
That made me be like, oh, I can't wait until she's actually old enough to like be into it, because
yeah.
I can't wait to do that.
And we let the kids pick like whatever they want to do. It was McCartney's year, the little one's year to pick. So
pick
she picked Willy Wonka. Last year, the older one, because she wanted to like have fun with her little sister, we were the Peppa Pig crew.
Okay.
And then we've
I
been.
I don't think I know what that means.
That's a good sister right there,
yeah,
like hooking it up.
But the year before that, we were all the characters from Harry Potter. My wife was the owl. I was Hagrid. Older daughter was Harry, and the little one was Dobby.
So the Chaps family crushes Halloween.
Oh, dude, it's we start really thinking about it.
In, like, August?
Yeah, it's basically like we have a draft in, like, the middle of the summer, and then a little off-season. We do a little prep work, and then when the season kicks off, you're in playoff mode already.
I love how Chaps, like, on his podcast, will talk about how he, like, was screaming at recruits, and then it becomes, like, the guy who just melts your heart on Podfathers with these costumes and everything.
We wear many hats here.
Yeah, the process to get to that wasn't exactly as smooth as I probably make it seem. There's lots of bumps along the way.
Plenty of bumps. Every family has bumps. Every dad has bumps. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get into some products that you need when you first get home, some tips, some what to avoid. And then we opened up the Podfather's mailbox this week, kfcradio.com/askdad, where you can leave us your war stories. You can ask us questions. You can give us ideas for the show, whatever is on your mind, whatever you're going through as a parent. kfcradio.com/askdad. So we're going to get into a few of those as well. But as I said, this episode is home sweet home, when you're back at home for the first time. For me, just getting home was a fiasco. We've all been in the hospital for what, 24, 48, so whatever many hours. And we're on the way out. I asked the nurse, like, can you help me put her in the car seat? You know, I just want to make sure this is all good. And the nurse was like, I don't really know how to do that. So, like, I'll help you. But, like, you know, we both, like, kind of snap it in, kind of tighten it up. We're like, okay, I think this is good to go. I go get my car, which I parked in a Manhattan parking lot for 3 days.
I imagine that's a mistake.
It was
financially, that's a mistake.
It was not the way to go.
Yeah.
I don't really know what the answer is, but it's not that. I don't have someone drop you off or go get your car later.
Oh, I didn't even think about the New York nightmare of having
that's
a
crazy.
Car.
I don't know what to do.
Like, Uber that bitch.
Yeah, I mean, now you got.
But with a car seat,
but
dude.
But now you can't leave with the Uber.
But can't the Uber, like, is
there are some
Uber. I'm from the burbs, man. I've taken one Uber my whole life. So it's like, is there, like, baby Uber?
But you just
Uber?
Threw it out there. Just, like, Uber it. Like, I'm a pro.
Yeah, Uber that bitch.
Clem
that's
just,
how it works.
Clem hopping Uber bitch, like he does it every it day. He's like, well, I've actually only done it once. But I imagine it's the perfect thing to do.
I think you can get him with the car seat, but I don't know, man. There's really, I haven't really thought that through. I'll probably have to figure that out.
We could launch our own Uber with car seats. Boom. Billionaires.
Oh, yeah.
Cars.
Cut this from
Uber,
the app.
Boober.
Dude, if you just
Boober.
Did it and you had a Boober. Dedicated Uber that was there waiting for parents so
the
they
surge.
Don't even have to worry about it.
The surge would be crazy. You could charge whatever you want.
Yeah. Let's stop talking about it. We trademarked that. That's a hashtag
right.
trademark, so
anybody,
we have that. This is legally binding.
Anybody who comes up with that, we get like at least 60%. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. So we get the car, pop the baby in, and you know we're excited. We're going home. We're in Manhattan. I'm driving back to Jersey. I get to right outside the Lincoln Tunnel, and I peek back, and her head is just not even remotely close to what it's supposed to be like. Her head is, like, completely looking down, which is like, your baby's head is going to break off of its body looking like that. I mean, there was maybe, like, 100 more feet.
Inverted too much vertically?
No, it was like, she was like, her head was, like, dangling down, like, looking at, like, her own feet, like, bobbling. Like, I thought her neck was about to snap.
You didn't have anyone in the back?
She was, I don't know, was she in the back? We probably
she has
someone
to.
In the
can
back,
I just
right?
say this is the most concerned I've been?
Yeah, this is not good. So
the dad in me is like, oh no, oh
right.
no.
It was not a good moment. So we were like right outside the Lincoln Tunnel, like before the point of no return. I'm like peel off. And we had the whole, the car seat was set for when she was like a toddler. We didn't like slide the thing down or whatever. I was like, this, not a good start.
So you didn't do the pre check?
No, we didn't do any of that. I snapped it in. I watched the video. It looked good to go. We had the upper baby ready to rock. I thought we were good to go. Apparently not.
So that's a pro tip. Like if you're a first timer, always ask one of the experienced parents around you, hey, dude, will you check my
I thought the nurse
car
was
seat?
Pretty good.
It's a requirement in Texas hospital, like to go down and check.
Not in New York. She was like, you look good to go to me. I was like,
you New Yorkers and your crazy liberalism. Just liberal with the car seats.
That was my dad hack. Is we went to the police station and they will install it for you, which I was like, money. I'd never have to learn it. Then he disconnected it and said, now you do it. And I was like, you motherfucker.
I have a story about that too. I went to the fire department first. They were like, we don't do that anymore for insurance purposes. Like, we don't want to get a hook. I was like, but I get it, but come on. Like, come on, save my kid right now.
Can we say that now taking a car seat out of your vehicle at any time is a nightmare? I avoid it like the I didn't trade in a car for about 6 months after I should have. I was like, I don't know. We could probably get by on a little. Just because I don't want to put the car seat back in. It's a nightmare.
No, the entire process, the car. Like, we could do a whole episode on the car. Just packing up the car, getting the stroller, the car seat in, packing, taking the bags out, folding up the stroller, putting, I mean.
And that doesn't stop for years.
And it only gets worse. You have more kids, you have more stuff to bring, more toys to bring, you're going to sports. It's just like the whole car's filled to the brim. It takes like half an hour to get the car ready.
So how we do it in my family, my wife is like incredibly organized, like list out the ass. Like, she loves a good list. Like, we'll do anything for a list. Like, our entire lives go off of a list.
Satisfaction my wife gets checking something off
of a list. Oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
Way more than I've ever satisfied her.
And I'm really bad about being impatient, and I want to do things, like, right now because I dread things so much. Like, I procrastinate to the point of I'm going to do it right now. Like, because I want to be like, I know I'm going to mess this up.
Right.
And we've been married for 7 years. We've been going through this process for 7 years. I still am so stupid that when some of this stuff is by the door, I'm like, hey, babe, I'll go ahead and load some of this stuff. Every time, for 7 years, she's like, no, you're not. Just wait until I'm done. It'll take you 2 minutes to load it. Still, I'll sit on the couch for 5 minutes.
Let me go.
I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to go load some of this stuff. She's like, damn it, no, you're not. Just wait. And it's like I can't get it through my thick brain. Like, that's I need to just wait.
The car process, the car seat. Mine needed. The guy goes, "Oh, we got to get the pool noodle." I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, you're like the way your seat works, like it's not really fitting in right." He chopped up an actual pool noodle and put it like wedged it between the seat and the backrest, and that was the only way that my car seat would be level.
Did it come with the pool noodle?
No, it was like he had to go get an actual pool noodle from the police station
in December.
It was like I mean, he had no choice. He was like, I got to get the pool noodle. This is, you have one of the cars that like doesn't fit. It's a Jeep.
But he says it. He's so nonchalant that you're like, well, hell yeah, pool I didn't have the pool noodle. Why it's not on me.
But like, so
how am I supposed to know a pool noodle?
So they tell you like, you go to the police station, go to the fire station, whatever. Like people out there who are maybe like, no, I can do this myself, or like I'm gonna figure it out myself. I would have never figured out that I needed a pool noodle or something of that similar nature to make my car seat level. The only way her head was gonna be right was because of that.
And this is like the most important thing. Like that's
the world.
That's the worst part about the car seat is like you can I would imagine my compatriots in the studio here. We half-ass everything around the house.
Always.
Like if I have to hang up a picture, I have to do this.
Half-ass
I have to do that.
Is giving us a little credit.
Yeah, exactly. Quarter ass max. Yet with the car seat, it's like I do anything wrong, my kid's head is gonna be on her stomach,
right.
And you know, God forbid anything happens with the car. So you're just freaking out about that. To then be like, oh, yeah, and you need a pool noodle? Like, I don't have a pool noodle. Have I been doing this wrong the whole time?
Yeah, maybe.
I might be.
I mean, do you have, you know.
Clem's face looks very nervous right now. He looks very concerned for his daughter.
Do you have, like, the color thing where it's, like, no red, like, it goes green or whatever? As long as you're green, you're good. But in order for me to get green, and again, I have an Upa Baby thing and a Jeep, two very, like, popular things. They just weren't compatible. I was like, well, how the fuck was I supposed to know that?
There's so many dads listening right now that have, like, babies on the way. They're going through so much anxiety about the car seat.
Get the pool noodle.
They're
get
like,
the
well, I thought I was going to be good, but now this is another thing I have to worry about for months.
That was my first reaction.
Is my bed abuse
going to
be flying
around
the
wind? I was
like,
well, there's a million things that I feel like I'm doing right, but maybe there's a pool noodle for the crib. Maybe there's a pool noodle for the stroller.
That's
maybe
exactly
there's
it.
Quote-unquote pool noodles for fucking everything. I don't know. How was I supposed to know that?
And if you do a Google search, everything will say you're doing it wrong.
Oh, of course. It's, the internet is, you know.
It's terrifying.
It's either the best or the worst invention ever. I still haven't made my decision on that. But so we get home. You guys, I'm assuming, didn't have your baby's like head almost fall off the way I did. You just got home safely.
Dude, my
show-offs.
My drive from the hospital to home was 5 minutes max. I lived right by the hospital. And it was like terrifying. Like I had a billion old people just crossing the road like they were playing fucking Frogger. I'm like, what are you guys doing right now? And I'm just like, I'm screaming at old people in the car. I'm exhausted. My wife's tired. I'm scared. I don't know if I need a pool noodle in my fucking car seat. And you went through the Lincoln Tunnel.
I know.
I avoid the Lincoln Tunnel when I like go to Giants games or I avoid the George Washington Bridge. I don't go near New York City bridges or tunnels.
It's horrible by yourself just like on a regular day, let alone when you have your kid in the car for the first time. You know, I drive like so much worse when I'm like, okay, I have to drive safely.
Yeah.
And then I'm like out of my element.
10-2.
Like, yeah. Like if I'm just like casual, I'm probably driving my best. So I'm like trying to do the speed limit. So I'm like checking. I was probably more dangerous in that car ride than I've ever been. And then, yeah, we're on the side of the tunnel. It was.
And so much of it, too, is that you're driving not just because you have a baby in the car, because my second one, I was used to driving with a baby, but your wife is in a significant amount of pain still, too.
Yep, right.
Like, how she's sitting isn't exactly comfortable because she just gave birth like 2 days ago. So you're trying to not hit any of
the bumps
or anything like that.
And I think that's a good point to start with when you get home. I don't know. Maybe this was our doctor or I don't know if this is in general. I don't think we were prepared for how out of it she was going to be. Now, you had the C-section, right?
Yep.
So, like, that, you know, you went through a surgery. So, I'm sure they're probably like, "This you're going to be recovering from a surgery." And I feel like when you have a natural birth, it's a little bit more like, you know, slap you on the ass, like, go be a mom. And, you know, in our work setting, I took, quote-unquote, paternity leave. And people were, like, busting my balls. I was home for a couple weeks, and they were giving me shit about it. But, like, I needed to be home for 2 weeks.
Oh.
That's how out of it my wife was. That's how in pain she was.
And because you know that they just went through so much stuff. Like, you try to do as much, but I'm sure your wives are just like mine, where my wife was a champion, man.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yep.
The things that she was doing and, like, going, even just the process of feeding the baby, like, whenever you're doing it, like, breastfeeding, like, being committed to that for a long time.
I've never been
committed to anything in my life like my wife was to that. And it's just so impressive. And that's one thing when you look at it and you look at your wife, like you really do like love them more, you know, like because they're going through all those things for your kid, like for your baby.
But just the littlest things, like getting up and grabbing this and cooking that or getting food or like just physically getting up. She was so much in pain and so out of it that it was like, well, paternity leave, man, it totally changed my opinion.
But they're not going to let that stop them.
No, of course not. I mean, they're going to do what they have to do. But I was like, damn, this should absolutely be a must because that's how bad they need it.
Yeah, the see, now this is the thing. I don't know what it was like for people that didn't have C-sections, but like my wife, she needed like help in the shower. Sometimes yeah. I'd have to like, you know, help get her because she had like a bag on her too that had like medicine going in. And then when we went home, she couldn't go up and down stairs for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And they
that's
wanted
both sides. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
they want to do everything. And because it's like the motherly instinct, they just want to get it done. But you have to kind of work with them again. Still hormones there.
Always.
So you're not going to
yeah.
don't get your head bitten off by, you know, trying to do too much. You have to listen to them too, but you can't let them force their bodies because no one
wins. They will.
Yeah, you're
right. They
will.
They won't let them stop. And mm-hmm. it's like, yo, you just relax. I got this. Like, I will go do. I will run that errand.
But
or
then she's remembering
baby.
How incompetent you are. You're like, yeah, you'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't
good
even.
Luck,
you don't even take the trash out, dude. Can we relax on how responsible you are for half a second, please?
It's crazy though for me for the girls. Like, I feel like if you were to just like have an injury of some sort, nothing major, but if you were to like break a finger, a wrist or an ankle, whatever, like nothing crazy, they'd be like, here's your drugs, here's your medicine, here's like you got to do this and that and the other thing. And with the kid, it was like, oh, all right, you're healthy, she's healthy, go ahead. It's like,
and they give you some medicine, but you know, like especially with the breastfeeding thing, like they're not going to take yep. anything stronger than like baby Tylenol or something crazy. It's just.
My wife, too, she's like, I've never found you as funny as when she had, like, stitches, because then she'd be laughing, and I'm like, you never laugh at these jokes. You don't think I'm funny at all sometimes, you know what I mean? And I was like, and then you're kind of like.
That's a wife right there. You're not funny. Yeah.
That's 100% yeah. the wife of a Barstool guy.
I work for a comedy site, goddammit, and it's like, all right. So, like, sometimes you just give her a little, like, needle her, and you give her a laugh and make her hurt a little, just feel like, yeah, revenge, you know, it's fine. And now she doesn't find me funny at all, but she did find me funny then.
That's a good thing. Whenever one of us does make our wives laugh, like I know, like that joke killed. If my wife laughs at a joke, I'm like that was funny.
The funniest thing I've ever said.
I'm just like, well, look what we have. Somebody is funny, huh, Miss Ma'am?
I don't think my wife's laughed at me in like 3 years. So yeah, she's hurting. The baby is so. I mean, we have a dog. I have a dog at home, Duncan. You may have heard of him. He's an award winning champ. He's a dog
Shout
show
out to Duncan.
Champ. Shout out to Dunks. Love the guy to death. Not really the most well-behaved dog. I would not say he's like, you know, a chaps dog who's been trained militarily. So I had this like, you know, introducing the dog thing to worry about. I'm sitting there like, please, dude, like, don't bite her, don't bite her, don't scratch her, don't dock her. Like, he would never be vicious, but like, you know, he's not well-behaved.
We have to do the whole thing with the
elements
the...
of that with my.
Did you
with a female dog? Yeah, like, and not because. The dog was untrained, but the dog, like, loved me so much that any
like
attention.
A territorial thing?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, I would be holding my daughter, and Elfie would come up and say, who are you?
Really?
And what are you doing with my dad? And I would have to, like, physically push her back. It was so bad that she ran away.
Really?
Like, 6 weeks into us having the baby, she never really dug out or tried to get away. Gone. She was. If I can't have, his attention, I'm out of here. Was
yeah, that's flattering? But
did
damn.
She come back?
Never.
Oh shit! So you just lost a dog.
You got heartbreak.
Yeah.
Holy moly!
That's some older sister shit. But like, I'm out.
That's sad.
Damn. It was crazy.
Were you like upset?
Well, of course. I you mean, know, I yeah, love the dog like, too, and she was a great dog. But I mean, if it came down to like dog or baby,
well,
you know, like once.
It's funny you say that because I'll tell the people out there for everyone with like a puppy with a dog. Your wife will grow to hate the dog. It's because of that. It's like, I mean, Duncan, if I wasn't around, Duncan would have been at the pound probably like 7 or 8 times. He was eating her pacifiers. Every baby toy looks like a dog toy. I can't even blame him for the shit that was going on. But like,
everything squeaks.
Everything. It's all they make dog toys for babies. That's what they do. And I mean, you know, she was like, we got to figure this dog out. This is not going to fly. I'm sitting there like, I'm like talking to the dog. I'm looking at Duncan like, please, bro, please just stop eating your pacifiers. I don't want to lose you, man. Just be prepared for that because she loves Duncan still, but she was all about the dog and then the baby came along. It's something that I did not know was a thing at all. And once I had the baby, a million stoolies tweeted me like, just wait until your wife turns on the dog. And I was like, no way, no way, no way. It happens. So be prepared because
every
it
dog
to everybody.
Goes to the bottom of the totem pole.
I know,
every
so
family,
sad.
It's wild. Like
it's
even
so
even people I know love their dog. Even a lot of the dads are just like, dude, like out of here. Because like they're in the fog, the 6 month fog, and you're just like, this is the last thing I need is your ass. I already got to worry about keeping this thing alive.
It's worse on the tummy time, like the tummy time portion when the dog
when they're on the floor
when they're on the floor and everybody, and then there's the baby comes up with dog fur in their mouth, and because as much as you vacuum, it's still going to be there.
Duncan just like licking her face, just like tongue right in the mouth. I was like, that can't be safe. That you can't be carried. They were like, doctors were like, don't worry, the dogs are clean. I'm like, I don't think that's really the case.
You don't realize how I don't wash my dog like ever.
Exactly. Like maybe other dogs are clean. I just watch mine lick someone else's shit. So that dog is not clean. So be prepared for that. The dog thing will be an issue for you. The other thing, the sleep thing is just so real. And those first 6 months, and in the beginning where it's not even, you're not even sleeping, they just have to eat around the clock. It's crazy how a little thing needs that much food, but it's because they're growing at like, you know, quadruple the rate of a regular person, whatever. How'd you fare in those first?
My first daughter, I was younger, so I didn't really need a whole lot of sleep. I was like good no matter what. I mean, 2-3 hours of sleep. I was 22 years old, so I was,
that's all you needed.
Oh, geez, I was up, ready to go. My second one, if I had a kid now, I'm not sure I would be able to do it. Like at 35, like no way.
Shit. Yeah, the same thing. Like whenever we have the second.
And I was up maybe a quarter of the times that my wife was. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she would go wake up like every 3 hours, like on the dot for months. And I don't know how she did it.
It is some superhuman shit.
And then she would go, like, they go and do their regular job once they're back at work, and they come home, no sleep, and performing well at work. I'm like, who are you? Like, are you a robot?
I guess when you were younger, I don't know, so maybe this is a question for you, Clem. Would you, like, try to be up when she was up, like, as, like, a thing of solidarity? Because there were times where I would be like, I don't really need to be awake right now, but I feel like I'm probably going to get in trouble if I just snooze through this whole night. So I'd be up and, like, trying to talk to her, and she'd be like, go to sleep. I got this. Like, you can't breastfeed. Go to sleep. And I was like, this sounds like a trap to me. I think I'm going to stay awake here. But I think my advice would be, I mean, you need to take shifts. You need to, like, share the load a little
bit. Oh, if it's not a feeding time, you better get your ass up.
Yes. I mean, in the very beginning, you just got to be up and ready to help and assist in any way possible. But you can't, moms and dads, you can't be a hero. Like, when it does come time to just try to get through the night, and we're not talking about breastfeeding or whatever, you have to share that load, I think.
Yeah. And here's a good tip. When mom is still breastfeeding or you're still feeding, like, every 2 hours, dads never, ever play the not it game with a poopy diaper.
No. That's what you can do. That's where you can help.
Do not do that. Because I did it once. And this, with my second daughter, and didn't go well.
I can imagine.
Because you think you're being all funny, like, oh, not it. And it's like, you are it.
you're always it.
Yeah.
You're married and you have a kid. You're it for life, bro. Put it that way. But I was alluding to it earlier. There is that element of chicken where you're laying in bed and I'm like one eye half open, trying to stay as still as I can, like facing the wall, being like, I think like another 2 minutes and she'll get up. She'll get up and do it. She's probably thinking the exact same thing. I'll be honest, there are times where, like, you know, you win that game and it feels good. Like, you see her get up, like, yes, and then there are other times that it's like, well, I'm going to pay for that, like, in the morning, or I'm going to hear about it later. Just get up. It's just, save yourself the hassle and get up and do it.
I don't think I've ever, like, my wife has ever fake slept on me, but she's just been like, can you get it? And then it's like, shit, I should.
If they say that, you have to go.
You have to go.
Oh, yeah. You
can't say
no.
And then you have to get like the next two just because she had to ask you. You have to be like.
That means that you weren't. or you get like the covers get thrown and you hear like.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I guess it was my turn. And now it's too late because she's already up and at them. So I would say tread lightly in that game.
I do have respect for my wife in that regard. If she wanted me to get her.
She would always do it.
She would like, go get her. I'm like, Roger.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Got it.
Give me the orders.
Yeah.
Seriously, give me the orders. If I'm slacking, let me know. If I'm not doing the right thing, let me know. Because, I mean, this is like guys with women in general. It's always a guessing game, right? You're always trying to figure out what they want. Is this a trap? Did you really mean this or that? We ain't got time for that right now. We're trying to keep this baby alive. So just tell me what you need. You want me to pour a bottle, heat a bottle, melt the breast milk, get up, rock her, push her? Tell me. Because I can't read your mind right now.
And there's so many different processes when you bring the baby home that you don't even think about, like in the birthing process or while your wife is pregnant, such as how long is the baby going to stay in your room for?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to sleep in your bed with you? Are they going to sleep in the bassinet? Are they going to start in the bed and then end up in the bassinet? Are they going to go upstairs? What kind of monitor are you going to get? There's so many things that you don't realize that are questions that become questions. What did you guys do as far as baby in the room?
Yeah, we started baby in the room. And this, the funny thing is, I imagine you already saw it. It's different per kid. Like, you can go one way with one kid. I know, like, five people who said they got bassinets, and the kid wouldn't sleep a lick in the bassinet. Mm. Put it in the little, what did they call it? Like, the rockin' sleep or whatever?
The pack and play.
Not the pack and play. It was like sleeper. It's like the little one that folds out, and it,
yes.
Ours looked like a monkey.
That is one of my products of the day.
Yes.
I had a Fisher-Price rocker, and it was just like a little like, it's almost like a hammock in a way.
Yeah.
And it has an ever so slight rock. And that she didn't sleep at night, and we did a bassinet at night, but during the day, when we would just pop her in there, and that thing was a lifesaver. It was like
the rocking's got to be like a throwback Thursday to when you're hanging out in your mom's belly, right?
It has to be. Like, yeah. That's the ultimate TBT.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I remember this.
Yeah, like just doing a little sway in the water.
And
yeah.
It's like snug as shit because
it's so
it, like,
warm.
Tightens up when you put them in there. It was $49 probably, the Fisher Price one. Like, by far the cheapest thing. We got the Mamaru. The Mamaru was like $5 billion. Oh, this mimics the this and the that. It's moving in ways that I'm like, this no mom's moving this direction. All electronic. All it was a toilet for Duncan. Duncan just peed on the Mamaru nonstop. I couldn't get him to stop peeing on this thing. We had the Mamaru. We had the rocker. We had this swing, that swing. And the $49.99 Fisher Price little wobble thing was by far the most valuable thing we bought. Get it. Try it. Maybe not works. Doesn't work for everybody. Every kid's different, but it's worth a shot because it was one of the most cost-effective things we did.
And it's tough, you know. Even as a dad, it's tough. Like the first time you put them in the room, and you're just like, "Wow!" Like now they're out. And I think all parents, the first kid, they're worried about having is the baby breathing? And that's
always.
What you're always. You're just staring at the stomach. You have to go closer because they're so small. And then they're out of the room, so then you're doing that.
You
you're trying
to
wake them up, though.
You don't want to touch
them
to wake them up.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to. Yeah, I'm a big guy here. Little creak, and then it's like you're then on duty for that. You know, you just woke
up. You don't
up.
Realize how many noises your house makes until your baby is asleep at like 7:30, and
it's like everybody.
You're just like, if anybody makes a noise, I swear to God. And then when the doorbell rings, I used to write whenever I would stay home with my baby during the summer. During nap time, I would write on a sticky note and I put it on my door every day. If you knock right now, be prepared for a large tattooed man to be very angry and answer
knock
the door.
Gently. Just, you know what? Open the door
and
walk in.
If somebody did, I would open it up just in my boxers like, what in the fuck do you want?
But
Jehovah's Witnesses don't come to my house anymore.
Hey, there you go. That's two birds, one stone right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Did you, everybody always says sleep when the baby sleeps. Were you able to
adhere
to that?
No.
Nobody can, right?
It's outrageous.
You're an adult. You can't just sleep at the drop of, well, you know, listen, sometimes you get so tired you can. But I found that the little free time you do have, I would much rather have, like, watched a TV show.
You want to
take
a shower.
Game, take a shower. Do something that's just normalcy. Because you can't just sleep and take care of a baby.
Eat with your arms free.
Go to the bathroom in peace. Like, do whatever you need to do to get back to being a normal human because you can't just, oh, the baby's sleeping. I'm going to sleep right now, too. I'm gonna take a nap in the middle of the fucking day at the drop of a hat. It doesn't happen. It's not real.
And our jobs would allow that more than most jobs would, right?
I know,
we could just do whatever.
Yeah,
and
for sure. But
not
it
at all.
Not, I mean, listen, again, there are certainly times where you're just so exhausted that you can. But
there are
the idea that you can continue that or keep to a schedule of that.
With the baby, when they first come home, they sleep so much that it's... It was really cool, at least in our experience. So one of my favorite memories of hanging out with my wife was when she first had the baby, and my wife was on maternity leave for the first 6 weeks or so. And coming home from school, because I had just started college, so I would get out of class at like 9:30 or 10. So that was really when they were getting up and getting their day started. But then the baby would take a nap at 10, probably for like 3 or 4 hours, mm-hmm. and we would just hang out and just binge watch The Walking Dead whenever it happened. And those were cool times, and like, because you are off together, and I was fortunate to be off because, I mean, most dudes aren't off at 10 o'clock
right.
every
yeah.
day. So
yeah, but
we crushed cereal together, not the show, not the food. I'm sure we did both, actually.
Yeah.
I watched a little Wendy Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's bonding time.
I had a weird maternity leave situation because I, you know, I guess similar like what you guys just said, but I'm working. So that's always one of those things, too, that's tough where it's like, I'm working. Like, I will help you, but, like, you almost, what if I had a job in an office? Like, I wouldn't be here at all. Because there was a lot of times it was like, honey, do this and honey, do that. And I was like, yo, I got to do the fucking rundown or whatever it may have been at that time.
I had just started when,
yeah,
when
you were fresh.
Yeah, I was fresh. And like, you go in and be like, hey, I got, like, these two. I'm like, what the fuck is this guy doing working right now?
I know.
I was sleeping at this time last year when my baby was born.
At some point, I mean, I just... The blog never sleeps, bro.
The baby never sleeps.
The blog never sleeps.
And your boss was like making an enemy out of her, even though she was brand new. He was already saying how she was costing him money and stuff like that.
Shay Clancy has been the best. Well, this podcast wouldn't exist if I didn't have a kid, Portnoy. My kid is putting food on your table. How about that?
There it is.
But I'd be sitting
Spin
there.
Zone.
I'd be sitting there in the in my office, which was her nursery. And they're in the living room, and like Wendy Williams would be on. And
how you doing?
I didn't know she had a show until then. And then, like, I hear my wife, like, laughing her head off more than she's ever laughed at me before. And I'd be like, what's going on out there? She's like, how you doing? I'm always like, you know, one of those, like, what did Wendy say today? Like, Hot Topics is on? Let me take a break right now.
So that was
our little, like, bonding was how you doing and Wendy.
That's the worst thing, one of the worst things about, I don't even know about men and women, maybe just husbands, wives, girlfriends, boyfriends, but when there's something that your significant other likes and you go into it, you don't want to be like, I don't want you to know I like it too much off the bat. And you have to kind of, you know, go in. It's hard to get a show like How I Met Your Mother was the first show that my wife and I both got in together and we started together and we liked it the whole time through. But like something like that, it's definitely like, I'm like, I don't know. And then you're like, but then it's awesome when you guys can watch it together.
Yeah, and it's cool because it is the time where you're like, you're closer than ever, you know?
Yeah.
But the baby's asleep. So right now you're not even really in mom and dad mode. But you're closer than you've ever been, and you're listening to Siri, you're watching Wendy Williams, you're watching Walking Dead, which is just so romantic, by the way. Yeah, you know, a lot of gore and shit there. She's probably like, whatever, I just gave childbirth.
I mean,
Walking Dead ain't nothing on me.
We watched Downton Abbey at night too, so I mean,
wild and crazy times.
Yeah,
man.
We're getting nuts. I think that they also know that this is probably the first time, if you've been together for a while, that you're not just being really nice because you want to have some sex. Like, they know that you're not allowed.
Because guess what? You ain't.
Yeah,
you
so
ain't.
You're like, oh, he's actually being nice because he enjoys my company, and not because he wants to get some later.
And then when you reach that date of when you're quote-unquote allowed to, you still ain't. That date needs to be revised by doctors. Like, okay, yeah, it's physically okay for me to go back in there, but let's talk realistically, doc. When am I going to get back up in there again? That number, you're not going to like that. New dads? So let me just...
Unrealistic expectations for males against females in that. Because, dude, you're, like, ready to go, and the female just doesn't want to a lot of times, and that's okay. You know, like,
She's like, last time we did this, do you know what I had to go through?
Yeah.
And that is a real fear. Like, I'm like, there's no way we're doing this in the next 9 months again. This is done.
Right. Oh, yeah.
For at least a year.
Your pullout game better be strong. So I got an email. We're going to jump into some of these questions and war stories from the Podfathers mailbox. Once again, it's kfcradio.com/askdad. This came from Sam, who says, explain to me sex after the baby. How many weekly, quote-unquote, favor blowjobs are acceptable to ask for?
This guy just needs to delete his account.
Delete your life, bro.
No.
She's going to delete it for you. Are you crazy? You're never going to get a blowjob again, let alone weekly favor ones.
Blowjobs happen after marriage, let alone childbirth.
What?
Are you out of your mind,
Samuel?
I
mean, the old joke that it happens on like your birthday and Christmas, those are a bad joke. That ain't real either. It's never happening again. Your dick is not going in any mouths probably ever again. You need to deal with that.
Sam, that's the woman of your child. Don't you disrespect her like that in a podcast ever again.
You shouldn't even want to do that, man.
Blowjobs should be far down the list of what people are concerned about on episode 3 of Podfathers.
Seriously. So let's get into some of these other ones here. This comes from Kevin. Chaps, this is directed at you. Father of two girls like I am. Mine are 10 and 3. So very similar to you.
Very
11
similar.
11 and 4?
Yeah, same exact.
Okay. And so being in a house full of women, how much liquor do you consume weekly? I need to compare my consumption with someone in a similar living situation.
I've switched primarily to full-body red wines.
My man, yeah.
So the good thing about it is my wife also likes full-body reds. So what we do is we go in, we watch some Jeopardy at night after the kids go to bed.
Oh, yeah.
Drink, we'll probably split a bottle of wine a night.
Who's better at Jeopardy, you or your wife?
Oh, my wife is brilliant. Yeah. Like, it pisses me off because... She reads so fucking fast, man.
So she can like, get the answer out quicker?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Like, I'm not even through it because I have, like, a marine brain, so I can't read that fast.
They're like marine-oriented questions, and you're just not reading them fast enough?
Yeah, she's like, spitting out the knowledge. It really pisses me off when she gets a sports one, too. I'm like, you know I would have gotten that one right.
You should have given me that one. Come on.
So I'm like, can we have a rule where you can't answer until Alex is done reading it, so then I have a shot, too?
My wife had the same issue on the Nintendo game when we played Jeopardy against each other, and she'd be like, you read too fast. I'm like, what kind of a thing is that? But
it's a real concern.
It's fair.
I just sit there and I just mumble the answers under my breath so we don't get in a fight of any sort.
That's the thing is, like, we'll always have, like, mumble in our breath, and then when she says one out loud, I'm like, look at you. Okay. Now we're going to have a competition now.
Do you guys dap it up whenever you get one right?
Oh, no, it's all competition in my house.
We dap it up. Or if she's close.
Chaps in his Halloween costumes and his Jeopardy love.
if she's close, I always give her credit. We always give credit.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The Leaning Tower of Pisa. The actual answer would be like, what is Big Ben, the clock? I'm like,
that's close enough.
Like, you get credit.
I was going to say that.
Half credit. Yeah, that was my second answer. You know what I meant, man. What I meant.
That was in my brain. I know it.
You get Final Jeopardy, though. That's respect. Props. No matter what, respect.
You got to dap it up on that.
Yeah. I'm walking on clouds for the next 24 if I get Final Jeopardy right. I just feel like a genius.
I got Final Jeopardy right 3 times in a row last week.
Whoa. Jesus.
Yeah.
Check out the big brain on chess.
Jeopardy?
Well, that's disrespectful. But secondly, we did a chest bump after, and it should have been a gif-able moment in our house for sure.
I was going to say, like, the jumping up where you hit, like, back, like the football players do.
Yeah.
That's that kind of moment.
Do the jump man moment.
Yeah.
It's quickly turned into a Jeopardy podcast.
Which I'm not against.
So back to the question. I mean, I think alcohol, I'm just going to come out and say it. I think alcohol is a very, very necessary thing to have in your house.
To a degree. Like, if you're getting to the point where you're drinking too much and your wife lets you know.
Don't listen to Chaps.
Yeah.
Just fucking keep drinking, man.
I mean, don't get.
Chaps, stop being a pussy, man.
Yeah, don't end up laying in a podcast studio.
Yeah, probably don't take a nap in your place of business.
Just enough to take the edge off.
Yes, and you're going to have an edge that needs to be taken off. Also sucks that when they're breastfeeding that they can't really drink either. The dump and pump thing is, you know, it's nice in the pain.
But they also don't want to go through the dump and
yes, when exactly. When she's dumping it, it's like when you're working on an Excel sheet and it the computer crashes and you lose all your work.
Yep.
She's just like crying as she pours it down the drain. So, you know, it's up to them to balance that. Like, do you really want to pump it and dump it? And I love too, as you get like a little bit older, it's like, well, you know, it's okay. Right? You only have like a couple glasses of wine. You're good, right?
The baby needs to sleep too.
Yeah, exactly. We got to build up her tolerance. She's Irish. She's got to drink eventually. Let's get it started.
The breast milk thing is real though. Like, my wife would be like, "Did you spill any?" I'd be like, "No," and it's like, "I spilled 2 ounces," and you don't know because you were at work and I was home with the babies.
Well, the effort to get it out is like, I mean, it's basically like mommy Dom Perignon. Like,
yeah. You got to treat that like it's gold.
Did you try
any?
I've probably tried some, you know what I mean? But
I'm too scared, man. I just feeling it like a warm bag just pushed. Yep. I'm like, oh.
But we had a deep freezer where she had like stockpiled some extra ones, you know,
for the apocalypse. Yeah,
and
it was
then
just junk
we were
like a bunker.
Walking Dead over there, like, in case the zombie apocalypse happened, our baby will be fine.
We were out of town and the power went out. And we were so concerned.
Yeah, you can't
about
lose that shit.
No, because it's like gold, dude. It's like having black truffles in your freezer.
Yeah, it really
freezer.
Is. It's that important.
Especially because it knocks the baby
and the
out.
The process that, I mean, just the idea was like crushing to my wife. Like, that's probably, I've seen her grandparents die, like, and things like that. But the look of pain on her face when she thought that she lost that, and not because of the effort that she went through, but because she knows that's like the best nutrients for her kid.
Yeah,
like,
right.
The pain was unbelievable in her eyes.
The getting it into my kid. Shout out to anybody, my parents out there who their kid has acid reflux. Ooh. That was one of those things that I was like,
or colic.
Yeah. I'd say colic is
colic.
News.
Colic is such a funny term. It's like, if you look at the definition, it's just like your kid's being an asshole. Like, is your baby colicky? I used to just think it was, like, something physically, like, colic. I don't know. It sounds like a polyp. Like, is there something going on? It's like, nah, your baby just won't shut the fuck up. It just cries all the time.
Your baby's a dickhead.
Yeah, basically. The acid reflux. I'm very laid back with all that stuff. Like, I'm like, come on. She's fine. She's not sick. My wife's always like, is something wrong? Is she sick? Is it this? Is it that? I'm like, it's just a baby. We're going to figure it out. So when I hear acid reflux, I'm like, what is she, like a dude eating too many wings? Like, come on. And then she fit, like, to a T, the profile of acid reflux, and it made perfect sense. And I was like, I felt so bad. I was like, this poor little baby has acid reflux. But if I have a little case, yeah, like, I'm
dying. This is what everybody on the block said was going to happen. Right. And I am totally this guy.
100%. So, yeah, she was, in the beginning, she was drinking like 8 ounces a day. It was like, you know, a fraction of what she should have been eating. And we're just sitting there trying to like jam it in her. It was always a hassle. It was always a fight. So shout out to my parents going through
that. That poor little creature had no idea what was going on. She's never been in this world before, and you're here just like, take this acid in your throat, baby.
But even once we knew it was acid, it was like, yo, you gotta drink. Like, we gotta feed you. We're giving all sorts of medicine. It was a hassle from the jump. But so it's okay to drink a little bit of liquor, a little bit of wine.
Oh, dude,
get through the day. What would you say? Just don't be like blacking out, and make sure you can get up. You know, make sure you're not, like, passed out to the point that your wife is
asleep. Yeah, just have a couple fingers of whiskey and you're good.
We've talked about how bad hangovers are with babies, and that's going to be a consistent theme, I feel, on this show.
Big-time balance there.
Let's talk, I guess we can't really speak to this, but this guy is having a boy, and circumcision has been a heavy topic of discussion. He says he thinks it's unnecessary and basically torturing your child as soon as it's born, but he wants to hear us talk about it. Obviously, we have not had any dudes yet. I can tell you right now, if I have one, it's getting snipped.
I am glad that I don't have an anteater cock.
Right.
Can I say that?
Yes, that is the thing.
Yeah.
I
would rather...
The family section of the podcast just heard cock for the first time. Second time now.
Yeah, I wish that... I am glad that my parents put me through that as an infant. One, because I don't remember it.
Right.
It wasn't traumatic for me, because I don't remember it.
And now you got an awesome dick.
Well,
you
I mean, that's...
a pretty sweet dick.
That's pretty good.
Decent dick.
It's average. Better than it could have been.
Well, average dick. Yeah. You have a dick that doesn't look like an anteater. How about that?
I have like the size 10 and a half of dicks. Just like, you're not going to find it on the clearance rack or anything.
I would absolutely, I mean, it's.
Don't you have to clean it too? If you have to clean it when you get older.
Yo, you have to clean it even when you get it snipped. Like the whole penis situation when you have a boy is very precarious.
No, you mean as an adult, right?
As an adult, yeah. Like if you don't,
you gotta, oh, if you don't get it,
you basically have
to get infections and shit.
You have to like kind of treat it like an ear, like put Q-tips in it and shit, or
you gotta like pull it back and get all up in there.
Like, would you? And then if your kid doesn't want it, would you rather deal with it when?
So basically,
he can't,
you don't want these problems. Get your kid circumcised.
Yeah, basically.
Or he's gonna get it when he's 10, 12 years old, and it's gonna hurt like a motherfucker.
Right. Right.
Send all examples of what it looks like to.
That is just barbaric.
Send all examples of what the uncut ones look like to KFC at Barcelona.
Oh. Thanks, buddy. Thanks, pal. What's with parents keeping track of their kids' age in months? There's nothing more annoying than trying to calculate how old a kid is when you get into the 20s and 30s.
Yeah, I think the cutoff there has got to be 18 months.
Yeah, I'm out. Agreed. After 18 months. And even that, I was debating the other day. I think I'll just be like, she's almost 1.5 or she's a little over 1.
My kid's birthday is this Friday. She's been 2 for like the last month or so.
Yeah, you just jumped to 2.
Yeah.
Yep. 20, I feel like it's a big white people thing. I feel like you're going to get a lot of white moms who's like, she's like 29 months. And I'm
going to start doing it to my 11-year-old. How old is she? No, she's like 220 months.
Yeah, I would say 18 is the absolute cutoff on that. Good question from my man Chaps here. My 10-year-old daughter is asking me to get on Snapchat.
No.
Their terms of use say minimum age of 13, so I'm using that as my argument right now. I'm usually pretty down to earth and pretty flexible when it comes to things like this, but for some reason I really don't think it would be appropriate for her to get on that app. She's a smart kid, and I would have access to monitor her account, but you can't fix certain things when they've already occurred. What are your thoughts? No pressure. I will base my final decision on what you guys have to say.
Okay, so this is a big topic that I have right now going on, too. We just bought my daughter a cell phone.
Right.
And that was a big question for a lot of stoolies have asked, too, like, what about cell phones when they get to this age? Here's my philosophy on cell phones. I think getting them a cell phone is fine as long as there's rules and boundaries, and one of those rules is you're going to pay for it. So my daughter is required to work at $10 an hour for 3 hours a week. If she doesn't do it, she loses her cell phone until she pays it. So it's basically like learning what credit is, learning how to pay for a car loan and things like that.
Do you maybe charge her some juice if she's late? Maybe a little bit big.
Yeah, if she's but she hasn't been late yet because she wants a cell phone. Like, she wants to do it. So
what? Now you owe 3 times 2 times this. Flat. Carry the 1.
As far as social media sites, we don't allow her on Facebook. We don't allow her on Snapchat. There is one called Musical.ly. Mm-hmm. We have to have the ability for both of them to go to my wife's phone and my phone. We have a monitoring app that every text message that she sends is sent to our phones too, or we can look at it if we log it on. Now, we don't do it, but we tell my daughter that we can do it.
It's like the elf on the shelf.
But Snapchat is just such a perverse world, and there's so little control over.
And you can't really you can't monitor.
Snapchat is not one because it's gone right away. Yeah. Like, no way.
Bro, I don't think I'm qualified to be on Snapchat.
And I don't get it. I don't get Snapchat. Like, I feel like
that's passed us by, so we can't even understand.
That's a social media medium that I don't understand. So no, Snapchat's out.
But I think what's good is for any of this stuff, whether it's a piece of technology or eventually a car or whatever these big things are in life, like having either you have to pay for it or a contract. And a lot of people drop the contract. You have to sign it where it's like if you do any of this, it's gone. You play it. You treat them like adults in that sense. But, yeah, Snapchat.
But there's so many things that come across that way because we're talking about computers and things like that. Do we want our daughter to have constant access to the internet? Like just the regular internet. That's a scary place too.
Hey, man.
But if you don't allow them to,
I don't want that.
That corrupted us. We're here because of that internet,
right?
But if you don't allow them to, the things that they're going to be able to see when you don't have control is going to be out of control. And if they don't start now, they're going to be behind the power curve.
Yes,
like big time.
It's almost like when you lock a girl up and you don't let her out of the house, and then when she goes to college, she's way more promiscuous than she ever would have been. You got to like let them find their way a little bit, but Chaps is like, nah, I'm locking her. I'm chaining her up to the radiator.
Well, I mean, one, I don't really agree that you lock a girl up and they become that way. I feel like a lot of times we are who we are as people. I mean, for example, I
think if you lock a girl up, she's more prone to rebel.
I think that's a guy or a girl thing.
Yeah.
Really, like how strict you are. But, yeah, man, it's tough. It's definitely a tough balance to be responsible but also let them live. Like, we're going through a lot of things having a first-year middle school daughter, and some of those things are very, very difficult to go through from the outside, like looking at establishing friend groups, and you want to be in this group, and they don't want you to be in that group.
It sucks being so in there. I can't imagine watching your kid go through. It breaks your heart.
It's 100 times worse watching from the outside because my daughter, like, wants to be out there and doing things, and sometimes you're accepted, sometimes you're not, and watching that process.
Brutal.
And you beat yourself up over it.
Boys come
and I
want to
be like, these fuckers that you're going to school with don't matter at all. You're not going to talk to any of them. But in the moment, and we tell her, like, it's about the quality of friends that you're going to have for a lifetime. And she even said, like, well, lifetime is a long ways away when you're 11 years old.
Right. She's smart.
She is.
Knowledge.
That's some prophetic. She's very
in touch with her feelings and things like that. So middle school is rough.
Yeah, middle school is you're in the thick of it.
Dude.
Well, at high school,
just makeup. She
too.
Comes downstairs.
And then college.
She comes downstairs looking pretty, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Go be awkward again.
What are you doing?
I want you to stay in your awkward face.
Halloween isn't going to be fun in the chaps' house, you know what I mean?
Like, do you want a new bike? And she's like, a bike, Dad? I'm looking at a car. Like, you're 11.
Are you going to let her, like, pick the Halloween theme when she's, like, 17? Like, we're all going to be sexy cats. Like, no, we're not. We're going to be ugly cats.
Sure, and then we'll just turn into the house that's locked up for the purge or whatever.
The haunted house.
Where nobody can get up.
Nobody can leave, yeah. We'll do one more bit here, and then we'll get into some bedtime stories. This is a good one. I like this one. And I want everyone to be honest. Everyone's honest in this one, all right? As a former single teen dad, I've had a lot of questionable moments as a parent. This comes from Nick. I've had a lot of questionable moments as a parent. The worst is when my 4-year-old son jumped into a lake, said he hurt his leg, then I ignored him for 2 days before taking him to the hospital where they said his femur was broken. With that being said, what is your worst moment as a parent? Any broken femurs? I'll start off with this one. I'll let you guys rack your brain because I had mine just the other day. Shay was sitting on my lap on the recliner. And she's always just like squirming around, and she always kind of like crawls up one leg and back down the other, and I'm always just resetting her and flipping her back over. And we got pretty comfortable. We got casual. I thought, you know, we're good to go. And I'm sitting there on my phone probably tweeting at Chaps or something stupid like that, and she just did one of her like flails. I thought I had her good. She just, like, fell right off the chair, like, whacked into the side table, landed onto the ground, and I've never felt lower. My wife was like, what? Get off your phone. You're always on Twitter. And I was just like, you're right. I'm always on Twitter. I'm addicted to Twitter. I'm sorry. It's never affected my child's well-being until now. I'm sorry. So, yeah, that was when my Twitter addiction caused my baby to fall about a foot. But she was screaming, didn't feel good. I felt it was really low. She didn't have a broken femur, and I didn't ignore her for 2 days, but didn't feel good. Worst moment as a parent, Clem.
I'm look like that's the thing is now I'm going through every stumble and tumble.
Sounds like I'm a really good parent.
Yeah.
Really
no, terrible. Not at all.
Hey, child services over here. Why don't you pipe down, man? I'm a great parent.
From February until June, I was home alone with the baby from about 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. And the amount of stuff that went down between those times, my wife would kill me if there was a hidden camera in the
house. Oh, yeah. That's the... I mean, the mantra is don't tell mom. You ever, remember that commercial like a year or two ago where it was like, don't tell mom, don't tell mom, don't tell mom.
And then she says, don't tell dad. Yeah.
Yes, yes. That, man, there's so many don't tell mom moments, but...
There's been a few where it's like... I don't want to say it's the worst, but there's been a few where... taking her, in a, that's just dads what they do. It's like she should be wearing a jacket or should she wear, and you're just getting the looks. I had, okay, I know what it is now. I'll own up to this one. I was once in the grocery store and I had the kid in the cart or whatever, and she's just like moving a lot and whatever, and she's taking her socks off, and this one lady is looking at me and she says, she shouldn't be in that part of the cart, she should be in this part of the cart. And it was in the right part.
Mind your business.
So I was like, all right, go to the next aisle, and we're going opposite ways. So then we meet at the next aisle. And she goes, I hate to say something, but, and I go, listen, lady, and I am
a mild-mannered guy,
reserved guy. Yeah. I said, listen, lady, blah, 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 blah. And I just stormed out of the supermarket with the kid in her hand, kids crying at that point because I'm, like, just losing my mind. And I was like, that was a pretty shitty moment. I felt like crap afterwards.
I think you were, no, I would not even call that a bad moment. Mind your business. I don't say anything about your kid. Maybe she was right. Maybe she should have been in a different part of the cart. Some lady yelled at me once. She didn't have a hat on. It was like 60. It was like pretty. It was
God,
warm enough,
dude.
I was like, come on, dude, leave me alone.
We used to get that all the time for socks because McCartney hated wearing socks. He'd be like, oh, that baby needs shut up.
Shut the fuck up.
And the other thing was she was like holding a rice bag or something because it was the only thing that would shut her up. And again, you'll do anything to make your kid shut up.
Absolutely.
And then like as soon as I leave, like she's trying to bite into it, and like, that's how like you end up in the emergency room with the kid.
You're set.
Right. She can't even get through that bag, man.
Golden.
So, she's not going to drink the bleach. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, rice is nothing compared to my story.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
What we got?
So I was playing a little bit of video games when I was young. When I was young Pappy Chaps. Uh-huh. So I was
Can we get the Pappy Chaps?
Oh, the voice again? Yeah. Oh, honey, don't be ridiculous. She's beautiful. She doesn't know what you're talking about. So we were sitting there. I was playing Xbox, and Kelsey was... She was probably about maybe 18 months.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there. She's behind. And
year and a half. 1.5 years.
Yeah, 1.5 years. There it is. So she's sitting behind the couch just playing with her toys that was behind the couch because I'm not going to have them in front of the couch because I'm playing some video games.
Can't get in the way of the TV, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I can't run that drag route with her in the way. So she's sitting there behind there, and I look at her. I'm like, she's being very, very quiet. And it also stinks in here, which is a normal occurrence when there's a toddler in the house. Like, you think it's, like, poop. Well, my old dog, Carl, was also in the house.
Oh, boy.
So Carl is behind the couch. He drops a big old deuce.
Oh, and she's playing with the
She's eating this shit.
Oh!
I look over. I look over, and she has her four little baby teeth. And there's poop on her four little baby teeth.
I'm puking. So, I'm puking in the studio. I'm puking.
So I have to get her I try to get her to puke it up. So I go get yogurt. I go get some olive oil and pepper and put it in there and shove it down her throat until she starts throwing up the poop. Well, her mom picks her up and is like holding above her head. That's when Kelsey pukes into her mom's mouth. That was my story.
Yo.
Kevin's eyes red.
Is that how you got your Purple Heart for surviving that? Because that is a miracle you're alive.
Did she know what? Like, or did she just thought it was puke?
Oh, no, she knew the whole process. Oh, she was a part of the whole process, yeah.
Yo. Damn.
So that's when I was like, I should stop playing video games. I actually got rid of my Xbox.
Because of that one.
Yeah.
That's one of those.
I was like, I was completely inattentive because I probably had been letting her play for like 45 minutes to an hour. I'm like, this isn't good, man. Because you get locked in on a game. And I was like, I'm about to whoop this dude's ass, man.
Jags about to go to the Super Bowl, man.
Franchise mode,
he said
bro.
He's going to beat me when I'm Florida State and he's UT El Paso. This is preposterous.
Yo, man.
Damn, my number two was when I let the baby go to, like, the top of the stairs. I didn't see the shit.
Everybody's baby falls down the stairs. You can't even count that one. If you have stairs, the baby's going down it at some point.
Shout out to Super Producer BC. He fell down the stairs when he was young, like, fractured skull, blood pouring out of his head. Survived it, though, and he turned out, like, relatively normal.
Explains a good amount.
When your kid does fall down the stairs, and rest assured they'll probably be somewhat normal. And also, maybe if they eat a bunch of shit, they'll be normal, too. Who knows? We're still, the jury's still out on that one, though. We'll see, right?
Oh, sure. Definitely out. She's a weirdo.
All right, let's wrap up with some bedtime stories because we were in desperate need of it after talking about eating shit and throwing up in people's mouths.
All my podcasts end up there.
Yeah, but you like. If you talk for like about an hour, by the end, some weird stuff kind of comes out, man.
Yeah.
That's what it goes down to. I'll start with my bedtime story. I crush swaddling. I am like a master swaddler, and it was like the first thing that I could do that was like my thing to do. Like, she's breastfeeding, you can't breastfeed. She carried the baby, you can't carry the baby. There's so many things that a mom has to do and you can't even do if you wanted to.
Yep.
And I can just swaddle like a motherfucker. And so I like liked doing it, and she was always like, you know, we gotta swaddle. And it worked too. It was one of those things, like, our baby stopped crying during the swaddling, so when all else failed or when she was really inconsolable, rolled her up like a burrito, and I was like, yeah, I got this. I can swaddle you. I was like, finally, I can contribute in some way. So I was happy about that. She was always like my little baby burrito. And also that the picture I took of her and Duncan when Duncan, like, licked her face.
That
and
was awesome.
She quote-unquote smiled. She was probably just, like, farting or whatever, but it was like a two-day-old baby smiling. That was definitely a moment where I was like, oh, I get it. This is one of those sappy moments where you're just like, oh, there's so many more smiles to come, and I caught it, and I, you know, great moment captured in time. So in between, none of the, you know, no sleeping and no fun and getting used to your new life as a parent, those were two that really jumped out at me that I was like, I can do this. I like this. You got a bedtime story for the early days? Can you think back?
Not for the early days. I already had mine picked out, but I also wanted to just mention again quickly because it was a popular one in the last episode. I'm just going to mention the sound of scissors going through a vagina.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Doesn't have anything
bastard.
To do with anything, but
you
I'll move
bastard.
Into my I'll move into my bedtime story now. So this week, I was coming up to New York for 5 days. And I was supposed to leave pretty early in the morning, and I had told my younger daughter by that night because I didn't know what time she was going to wake up. But she woke up a little bit early, so I was the one that went and got her. And she was like, "Daddy boy, you're still here."
Oh,
and she
daddy
was
boy.
She was like, "I love." She always calls me Daddy boy.
That's a great
She was like, "She's like, I love you," and gave me like a bunch of kisses. She was like, "Have fun in New York," and I was like, "Man, I don't want to go."
I was gonna say, trip canceled. We'll
yeah.
figure it out.
Sorry, man, I'm not going to West Point. I'm staying here and being called Daddy boy.
You got a bedtime story to wrap up episode 4 of the Podfathers.
Yeah, it's a little before I go into the story, just a little word of advice. If you are upgrading your phone before you get a baby, go like the next step of storage up because
you're gonna need it.
Even if you're not a video guy,
just go out full phone.
128 gigs, whatever.
256, whatever it is now.
The amount of pictures you're gonna take are staggering, and you're gonna think they're all awesome, and you're not gonna want to delete any of them. You need the cloud, you need the gigs, you need it all. Great piece of advice.
Yep. And the thing is, with the cloud, I don't understand much of it, but with iPhones, you have the shared. Do you guys do that, where you can like share the shared albums?
Yep.
Lifesaver, great. It's so much easier than like flooding your Facebook. You put your parents, any closest friends, relatives, whatever. So one day, I'm just video. That's the thing. Always videotape the babies, especially when they're young and they're not going to rebel and say, "Stop taping me, Dad,"
true.
You know? You never know what you're going to get. And every time I look at this video, it makes me smile every single time. It was, she's never made this sound before or since. I got it, and it was my ringtone until like I had to change phones, and I can't figure out how to do it again. But this is Baby Clem. You hear that? So every time I got a text message, it'd be, blah! Blah, and she just goes blah, and then she goes a little growl, and that's it. And you honestly never know, like, those moments. If I didn't tape that, I never
that's
get back.
Whole range of emotions for baby too.
That's all they got.
That's
that's all they can do at this point.
2 seconds says it all, man. And that's parenting, man. It's ups and downs, lefts and rights, and you just gotta love it all. So
I'm gonna leave you with this. We didn't really go through products of the day, but one thing that I think should become like a goddamn national law is that every baby onesie should be a zipper. No snaps, no buttons. In that
hard
beginning
disagree.
Stage. What? You want the snaps?
Big snap guy.
Why? Gee,
chaps, we would like curse people out who
have
got
you,
a snap.
Have
close.
You ever pinched the baby?
With the zipper? No. I mean, I can understand that, but I mean, I would much rather be very careful about zipping the baby up and doing it.
You would
in
think
half
so
a
until
second.
You're haphazardly zipping it up real quick and you pinch the baby and then you feel like you want to die.
Well, I will. When I reach that point, maybe I will reconsider the snaps. Until then, I think everyone, every single onesie should be zip ups. And I will not let you sway me in any other direction, chaps.
I appreciate that. A man with convictions.
That's right. That's what's up. I'm not going to be easily swayed by you. Come on. That's it for, what do you got?
No, my product of the day, this is something we didn't touch on, but I don't know for you two. Before the umbilical cord comes out, bathing is a nightmare, right?
Yep.
You have to use like the sponge or the rags or whatever. And with our kid, I don't know if the umbilical cord came out late, on time. It just felt like a nightmare. Cry, tears every single time. Once we put her in the regular bath, she was fine. Baby Einstein. It's a baby Einstein.
Which already is a lifesaver, right? I feel like I've heard. I haven't really messed with it much, but I hear baby Einstein nonstop.
It's called the Baby Einstein Take Along Tunes on Amazon. Every single time she would cry, made her happy again without fail for at least like the first year. Still to this day uses it as a 2-year-old.
Worth a shot, man. You never know. Every baby's different. Hit that up. It might not work, but tried and true for one baby. It might be true for yours too.
Yep.
Podfathers 4 in the book. See you next week.
My older daughter's gonna kill me when she hears that. I said that story.
I was thinking, I'm like, I don't know how much this is gonna come back to her.
Nope, it was another one.
Oh, was it whenever you first walked downstairs and me and Mom were painting?
Nope, think about what my favorite stories were about you.
I don't know. Which one is it?
What did you eat when you were 2?
Dad, no!
Yeah.
No, you told that. I am ashamed of you. I'm so mad at you. You embarrassed me in front of thousands of people.
Yeah. That's because I love you, though.
No. No. Why would you do that to me?
Oh, it's okay. You're only 2. It's fine.
It's not fine that you share. Hey, my daughter randomly ate my dog's poop. Isn't that such a great story? Let's talk about this for a whole hour.